Now it's time to go to This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Hopefully everybody's on board. Cynthia, are you there?
I am here.
Janet, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Now, were you guys taught Jimmy Crack Corn when you were in kindergarten?
That song? Everybody was.
It just dawned
all
on
over
me
America.
As an adult. Why? Why?
But so anyway. Those earworms. So you've just shared your earworm with all your listeners.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's go right to the pages of the Lakeville Journal this morning. And we'll go right to the lead story, interesting enough, where somebody needed information on vaccinations. Advocates for seniors say the rollout is difficult to navigate. And it is difficult to navigate. What I've been telling seniors, because I'm 68, is this fact. If you're 75 or over, call 211 and you can get information where you can get your vaccine. If you're under 75 right now, wait until 65 and over is and do the same thing. It's such a difficult thing for people to do and get backed up in it. This is a much needed story that people can clip and save.
Although it's turning out to be, I don't know if they're improving the systems or what, but when Deb Alexinas first started working on the story about a week ago, really having difficult times, and Deb, who's very computer savvy, was trying to sign her mother up and was finding just, you know, wall against wall against wall. But as of, like, the last couple of days, I'm hearing more and more from people. It's much easier. But one of the big questions we had was there are a lot of part-time residents here who actually have a New York City driver's license or maybe registered in New York City, but they're up here full-time because of quarantine. And some had gotten the sense from Walgreens, which it was announced over the weekend that Walgreens was doing vaccinations. Walgreens had sort of indicated that they're only doing full-time Connecticut residents who are registered to vote here. And I've called every person in higher up that you can imagine, and every single person is demurring on giving us an answer on this. But if you ask people sort of like, if I don't ask, but if somebody asks and they don't know that it's me asking, I think that what's happening is they just don't want a lot of people coming up from New York and saying, well, I've got a New York driver's license, and but I want my shot. So I think that it is possible up here if you're a part-time resident to get the shot, but you definitely always have to go through the VAMS application form online, which apparently is unwieldy and long and challenging. But whether or not you're a full-time resident up here, no matter where you're registered to vote, and of course, if you don't live up here, you shouldn't come up here. There's a limited amount of vaccine. It should be, you know, saved for the Litchfield County residents. But people who own property up here, pay property tax up here, should be able to get it by logging into the VAMS system. But on A2, we've got a little notice saying, you know, Lisa McAuliffe, the rec director in Salisbury, is willing to help people through. And I've had a conversation with Jen Marco in Cornwall, who's extraordinary. And she will actually, she's figured out a way to actually help seniors fill out the application. So when Deb Alexinas tried to do it with her mother, it could only be done on her mother's computer. Deb couldn't do it from her computer. Jen Marco has figured out a way to do it by phone, where she's not exposing some of these older people to, you know, being around other strangers, where she's actually helping them fill out. So do call your rec director in your town. Call your town hall if you're not sure, or if you're having trouble getting through to your rec director. But apparently there are shots. They're in Kent being offered through HiWatch, the recovery center down at the Kent Barnes in the center of town, and, of course, at Sharon Hospital. Hartford Healthcare has its own sign-up system, and it's just a question of whether you want to, you know, how much patience you have for filling out all these different applications, but it's important, and, you know, most of us are sitting around at home all day, so it might be worth it to fill out a couple of different ones, see if you can get into Charlotte Hungerford, if you can't get into Sharon Hospital.
And worst comes to worst, you can always dial 211, and they'll give you instructions where to call as well.
We're having waits on that line, too, you just have to be patient.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's well worth it. Well worth it.
Just hang up, call back, and... because I'm sitting here at 68, and when I know that when I have to go to register, I'll probably have an appointment maybe a month or so down the line, maybe not. Maybe I'll go to HiWatch, but I know that the minute I'm 65, I'm going to make every attempt to register, even if it takes 20 calls in a row.
A lot of it is you just have to keep clicking on your website, which is, you know, I think we all get frustrated with calling government numbers because
just hit
they
refresh.
Are overtaxed.
Hit but refresh. That's right.
A lot of people are saying, you know, that for instance in Dutchess County, I know that there was, you know, there's last minute announcements and they'll send out a quick email and say there's 600 vaccines available in Poughkeepsie. sign up right now, and I think that those are going, you know, within a matter of hours. Yeah. But if you just keep on clicking on your website, which is tedious, you should get it. And I think that over at Kent Barnes also, I think they had some extra on Monday, so they were offering walk-ins, which is extraordinary.
Which is great. And, you know, Deb spoke to all the social service agents in the area, and it's so interesting to hear what they have to say about their experience with going through it with people.
All right. I want to move on from COVID-19 to our own Ann Day, photojournalism, taking pictures of what happened in Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day.
Right, which is incredible. And happily, you know, fairly quiet compared to other events of the month. So Ann Day, who's an extraordinary photojournalist and has been at some, you know, hot spots of major world history in the 20th century and 21st, was, you know, we were lucky enough to get from her photos from the Obama inauguration, which are so beautiful and peaceful, and pictures of, you know, the president and his wife dancing. This is a very different outing for Ann, who has, she has family in Maryland, so she's often driving between here and area down the Chesapeake Bay area. And so she went into Washington. It was the first time she was non-credentialed for an inauguration in many years. She has done, she's been an official photographer for four inaugurations. She's been at seven of them. So this one, she was really just out on the streets, and she's on Instagram, and we have her Instagram handle there too. But really so interesting to see the way that the Capitol was blockaded, and to see the, you know, the emotions of people out in the street, and to see the snipers on the roof, and to see where all the press was kind of lined up outside in the perimeter. And Anne's a great writer, and also just sort of did a little descriptive diary of her trip to Washington, D.C., and what she saw and what it felt like to be there and how different it was compared to other trips she's made.
Also on the front page, we here at Robin Hood Radio have a close relationship with the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon. We do creative things with them. They do lots of Zoom talks. And you've got a couple of stories that deal basically with Zoom talks that are incredibly they really match what today.
Yeah,
you know,
and so,
it's,
of course, we have two stories here from the Scoville Library in Salisbury, which has been doing a ton of really interesting talks. And at this time of year, yeah, I would say that in a very busy time of year, we don't necessarily cover these talks, but at this time of year, there's not as much going on. And so we're finding, and really interesting topics. So Leila Hawken covered a topic where the former head of the Cary Institute in Millbrook was talking about climate change, you know, very calmly. And I think that one of the things that we appreciate about the Cary Institute is they really tend to try and just be based on science. And so talking about, you know, here's what's happening, here's how the trees look, here's, you know, here's the percentage of change. But I have to say, I was so happy to see the other day on somewhere on the internet that they've discovered a new coral reef down in Australia. So I think that's great. And then Patrick, we've had a lot of emails on this. People thought this was really funny that we had a front page story in the search for extraterrestrial life, intelligent life. But Patrick Sullivan did a talk from, again, the Scoville Library in Salisbury, where 70 people showed up to listen to somebody who's a really, you know, the chair emeritus of the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, which sounds really hokey, but it's a part of NASA, and it's actually a big deal. And, you know, you hear Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about it. It's not kooky. It's the real deal. So, again, talking about the search for planets, and I think at one point Jill Tarter, the speaker, said, you know, we've really only seen 4% of the cosmos. It's like holding up a glass of water and trying to figure out what the rest of the ocean looks like based on what's in that cup. So a really interesting story from Patrick.
Well, hell with looking for intelligent life out in the skies. We have enough tough enough time to find it here on the planet Earth.
Right, it must be out there somewhere. That's Lily Tomlin, that great Lily Tomlin.
Oh, that's right. Interesting chance for people to learn something, the history of Black America, three classes that are coming up at Noble Horizons.
Right, and again, Noble Horizons doing a ton of really interesting programming. Yeah. Caroline Birchfield, really indefatigable, and of course she's got these close connections to the Hotchkiss School, so she often will get professors who are doing talks about their area of expertise. We have something about that in Compass this week, but this is Hamish Lutris, who's done a number of talks for Noble. He's a history professor here in Connecticut, and has become very popular. And, you know, it's interesting, like, not everybody has to be from Yale to be a great teacher, and apparently this guy's a great teacher. So talking about, you know, Black America, which, of course, is Black History Month, but a topic that's always of interest and always important to us.
And, you know, we have formed an association with a lot of different nonprofit organizations. And you have a great story here about how the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation, once again, has come through offered community grants here in the Northwest Corner.
That's right. One of the longest, the most heavily rooted organizations here in the area is offering, once again, lots of support for organizations. They also have scholarships coming up. And so we try to get all of these on our page, A2, so people should always look to see what's being awarded, but also what's available.
I'll go on to this story. I was looking at the video of this, and anybody that goes through a Cornwall Bridge knows how it's a wild traffic intersection coming down the hill from Sharon. There's Route 7, then you've got 40. It's wild, and the plans that the state have come up with, once again, have raised concerns, and Gordon Ridgway is going to put the information up on the web so people can see it, but this is a wow plan.
And Cornwall is funny because it's like, as many towns around here, it has lots of little villages in it. And people may not necessarily know where Cornwall Bridge is. I think that people hear the word bridge and they assume it's the covered bridge. So it's not. It's the not super historic or attractive concrete bridge over where Route 7 and I think it's Route 4 intersect. And there's a little triangle in the middle, and that's where the town puts its Christmas tree. It's where the big Black Lives Matter protest was last summer. There's Richard Bramley's liquor store is there. What used to be known as Baird's is there. And, of course, the town's senior citizens' retirement area. So it is a very trafficked area. Takes you down south toward Kent, takes you up toward Torrington. And the state has come in, and I wouldn't say that this is one of those areas where you see a lot of traffic accidents, but they are concerned about it. I mean, as you say, there are a lot of people coming from a lot of different directions, often traveling through, perhaps not as conscious as they ought to be about the fact that they're passing through a town. But the selectmen at their meeting discussed the proposal and are feeling like it's not quite the thing. So Cornwall residents are being asked to go onto the website. We have instructions in the article on how to find the plan there and to give an opinion. But it's not really only Cornwall residents who might want to take a look, because we all drive through there. It's not a rural minor collector, as they sometimes call it. It's a pretty major collector.
All right. Story by Patrick Sullivan. Once again, I watched the video of this. There's a revised plan for Salisbury Apartments. Once again, the selectmen and everybody want to get people involved. They want to get this approved and moved on down the road.
And so this has been a very controversial conversation, as it, I would say, tends to be when affordable housing is the issue. And they had a meeting last night where they actually, I'm going to use the word, they broke Zoom. They didn't actually break Zoom, but 100 people turned up, and the host of the meeting, it turned out, couldn't host more than 100 people. So they had to try another person's Zoom, and it turned out that person also had a limit of 100 people. So very unusual to have that many people. One of the good things about Zoom, of course, is you can have a lot of turnout. And, if it was in person, they'd have had to go over to the church. Instead, what they've had to do is they've had to postpone the meeting. They'll reconvene it at a later date when they can have more people on that Zoom call. And Patrick has an article coming up for next week, and I can't remember the date. I want to say it was February 4th, but read next week's paper, and he will have the date for that.
All right, and Lila Honkin out of Sharon. Hilltop Road residents are in favor of speed bumps.
And again, so we're talking, there are these little roads that are shortcuts for people, and they're called rural minor collectors. And Hilltop Road, a very quiet, very peaceful little road, some beautiful houses on it, but of course Sharon Center School and the daycare center are there as well. But most important, it's a shortcut to Route 4 from the center of town. So a lot of people use it. And again, if you don't live in the town and you're not thinking like, oh, my friends David and Melissa live there, or, Phil and Heidi live there, or whatever, it can be, people can be impatient to get through that little road. So they're talking about putting speed bumps on there and what kind of speed bumps are the best speed bumps. So again, this is not just a Sharon story. This is something that if you use that as a shortcut, you might want to think about A, slowing down, or B, be aware that pretty soon there might be speed bumps there.
We'll slide over to food for a little bit here. A couple of different stories. Region 1 continuing to provide meals at home for students, and also, in a kind of stretch, but community farming at the Hotchkiss School.
Although, we're still talking about school meals, and Hotchkiss had taken on the Fairfield Farm, Jeff Blum's farm, which actually Jack was the son of the founder of Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation, Bob Blum. And the school has, you know, under the guidance largely of Alan Cockerline, the farmer there, is, you know, at first you thought it was like, oh, it'll be a cute learning opportunity. They're growing a lot of food there, and they're largely supplying their dining hall and other area food venues. So it is a real thing. And so the head of the school's head of the farm, Amy Sidran, is going to be talking on Monday at 7 o'clock about how that's operating. But then Region 1, I'm not sure that people still realize this. In summer, you could tell because people had coolers out in their lawns, and you could tell the kids were at home, and the schools were providing schools for families, meals for families, so that they were sending over, you know, breakfast or lunch for kids. And so there was a report in Region 1. They're still doing it, which is, you know, kind of great and government-supported, and we're happy to hear that.
And mentors, they're looking for mentors for independent study at Housatonic.
Right, as long as we're learning online, why not do that? And Patrick Sullivan, who wrote the article, has already volunteered, and he is actually a great and experienced teacher. So we're hoping that Ian Strever is hoping that there will be additional people who will speak up and say that they want to help out with this program, which is called Capstone. Independent study is always a great thing, and of course, as students are home studying right now, a nice way to keep them engaged.
And the obituary page, once again, quite a few significant names in our region on the obituary page today.
And we always want to remind people that, you know, to somebody, every obit is really important. But Henry Carley, a hugely important person in North Canaan, Maynard Bartram from one of the big local families, my friend Jerry's mom, Anna, died. And Leah Ufard, who is the mother of a lot of well-known local people. And then Bill Schrenk over on the flip side of it, a very lovely man. He and his wife had a beautiful farm over here in Falls Village. They did some beautiful photographs of it. And I just want to pop back to the Berkshire Country Cafe, which just opened in North Canaan and what used to be Pops. And Ryan Craig, the owner, had been in Cornwall briefly, and there was a dispute with the landlord. I think it was a rent problem. So he'd left and gone to Norfolk, where he opened Berkshire Country Cafe there, and it's been enormously successful and hugely popular. So, of course, we're happy to see him back here, and we wish him the same success in North Canaan, which is thriving right now and has lots of interesting businesses popping up. So do pop into Canaan and try to support these new businesses.
We have about 5 minutes left. I want to go to the opinion and editorial page. Your editorial, Remembering Don Connery.
Right, a really good friend of the papers, and we knew him for so many years, and such an accomplished man, and so generous with his time and knowledge and experience, and always super engaged with everything he cared about, which was wide-ranging, but especially false confessions and wrongful conviction cases, which he became involved with during the Peter Riley case in the 1970s, as did our late editor and publisher emeritus, Robert Estabrook, and they became good friends, and Don was always willing to meet with us and interns, reporters. We would have columnist lunches and invite the interns, and you could just see their faces light up when they talk to these guys who had such rich backgrounds in journalism. And Cynthia gives an anecdote in here that I think everyone will enjoy reading.
And lots of letters to the editor dealing from Twin Lakes to democracy to a letter that Tony Peel wrote back predicting the imminent danger for democracy, affordable housing, and even meeting the new trooper.
Right. Eileen Epperson's letter is completely charming, that she just was curious about the Salisbury resident state trooper who, you know, is a relatively new guy who's in there, Kenneth Pelletier. And she met him. He took her into his office and showed her everything and talked about all kinds of things. So, yeah, she was thrilled by that. We're so happy to have all these letters. You're right. Very varied topics and good columns, too. One from Lonnie Carter on Alexei Navalny, and Ralph Nader on auto safety, of course, and Mary Close Oppenheimer on affordable housing.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left for Compass here, Cynthia.
If I can, I'd like to throw it back to Janet for a minute to talk about milestones in business, which was so big and so exciting to see businesses doing well enough that they could support us. Janet, do you want to talk about
that? Yeah, it's great. You know, we do this, we've done this for years at this time of year, thinking about the businesses in our area, and we didn't know how it would go this year. You know, we're in the middle of COVID, things are rough, but we have milestones in business and 2.5 pages of businesses talking about when they began and who they are and please take a read and think about all of them and support them.
All right. Now you're down to about a minute and a half here, Cynthia.
I definitely want to talk about Peter Kaufman, who's a Lakeville resident and is an expert on Russian literature, and reviews the new book by George Saunders, who did the wonderful Lincoln and the Bardo. And it's short stories. I'm reading this book right now. It's wonderful. If you're interested in writing, it's a master class in how to write. Very simple, very straightforward. The kind of book you can actually, that you learn something from, but you can read it at bedtime, because he's just such a wonderful writer. A program coming up at the Sharon's Hotchkiss Library, as you mentioned, doing lots of interesting stuff. They're doing a knitting and literature program, a talk on preserving the history of Connecticut's black churches, very important. Honey Church Home, which is a super adorable store in Salisbury, and I don't know about you, my house is starting to smell like people live in it. So nice ways to scent up your house beautifully. And then, as we were talking about, Carolyn Birchfield at Noble Horizons, one of the Hotchkiss literature professors, talking about Shakespeare and the sonnets. And then Aston Magna, which does the historic musical instrument concerts, has a concert in winter, which they don't normally do, but of course it's COVID, so why shouldn't everything be different? And that's our compass.
All right, and of course you can find the Lakeville Journal and Military News online, tricornernews.com. You can also get the paper. And, you know, we publish stories from all area papers, and we credit them, and we put them up and with just a few lines and the link. And people say to me, you know, I hate damn paywalls. And finally, once again, yesterday, I said to the people, listen, if you want news, you're going to have to pay for it. You know, nobody can operate without a budget. And finally,
even the New York Times,
people understand this now. Hopefully, they learn. Businesses cannot operate for free. Radio stations, newspapers. You know, if we provide service,
one of the most foolish things with the internet is you give it away for free, and then start having to charge for it. We learned that with Napster way back when. But yeah, you got to pay for it.
We started that a long time ago. Yep. Though there are some things that are open on our website, like columns and obituaries and classifieds. But everything else, behind a paywall, because
otherwise
we are
always
a local
supposed
business.
To pay.
We need to have support.
We're a radio station, and we pay for subscriptions to every paper in our local area because we need local journalism along with us. It can't be done by one single person. So,
appreciate that.
We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and you'll find them at tricornernews.com.